This episode of The Fetish Show could be sponsored by you. If you're interested in reaching the thousands of our kinky listeners, contact info, that's I-N-F-O, at thefetishshow.com. On episode 15 of The Fetish Show, we tell you why sex is good for you, why your fetishes may not be so unusual, and we present an interview with the woman who literally wrote the Bible on piercing, Elaine Angel, and that's coming up next.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the Triskaidekaphobic Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm fine. How are you, Dirk?
I'm doing fine. I thought I was going to stumble all over that, but I didn't do that.
What exactly does that mean?
That means it's a fear of the number 13. And this is Friday the 13th that we're recording this. And
wow.
I figured that applied to you, although I don't really know.
I'm not afraid of the number 13, actually.
Interesting. Neither am I. It's actually my lucky number. I like 13.
Yeah, I even like Friday the 13th. I'm okay. I'm even lucky on this day.
I am, too. It's kind of the way I feel about it.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your event that happened in Dallas recently, the Foot Night.
Oh, okay, well, it was a pretty cool event. Nice club, nice venue, a very nice venue. It was really interesting. The guys that are there, they, you know, pay whatever cover to get in, and they have a bar set up, and you can have food or whatever, and they pick out their models, and they'll go to a little private area, wherever, somewhere in the you know, the bar area, upstairs or downstairs, and they have a session with you, so they pay you for this session. And my first client of the evening actually bit him because I didn't.
You bit him?
I bit him. I didn't mean to, because he held me down. He held my foot down.
Thought this was Foot Night.
He held my feet down. He tickled the shit out of me, and it was like just second nature. I bit the shit out of his arm. He's like, oh, he got lipstick on my arm. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I was not expecting. And it's against the rules. It even says no tickling.
Wow.
But I mean, I didn't mind to be tickled. It's just I wasn't expecting it. So it was just my
defense. Wasn't consensual tickling.
No. Hell no. So anyway, it was pretty cool. Later in the evening, I got a little bored, so I had the manager there put on some music and DJ for us, so we all danced around the stripper pole there. Had a good time.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, it's worth going. It was worth going. So,
yeah,
I have to vouch for the event.
How many people were there?
Shit, I don't know, because there was people upstairs and down and in and out. I don't know. A lot.
Really?
There was a lot. I couldn't give you a number, but there was a lot.
Yeah. What do you remember the name of the club or whatever that it was? That it was at. I'm sorry. We should have prepared for that.
I do not remember the name of the club.
I just sprung that on you.
Well, I mean, I should remember, but it I just don't.
What kind of club is it usually? I mean, is it a dance club or is it a strip club?
It's usually a dance club.
Okay.
And it's in a pretty decent location there in Dallas, and it's a nice club. It's a very nice club. It has upstairs and an upstairs dance floor and a downstairs part, and it has little rooms in different places. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Very neat.
Yeah, it was.
I think I'm going to ask a question that every guy wants to know out there. How many hot chicks were there?
There were some hot chicks there.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was.
Like quite a few or two?
Quite a few.
You and one other girl.
Well, no one's as hot as me. But
Well, of course not.
No, there were some hot chicks there. I danced with a few of them myself.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'd say there's probably, I don't know, 50 chicks there.
Wow, that's actually a lot.
There was a lot. You can look on their website and it'll show you how many models are there.
All right.
So there was several guys to every one model. So
right.
It was a nice little bit.
Usually the way it is.
That's always the way it is.
Yep.
Route number.
Sounds about right. Do you know how often do they do these things? I mean, I'm asking you questions that I didn't ask you to prepare for.
No, I don't know. But I know they're in different locations. It'll come back around to Dallas. They have them in L.A. and they have them somewhere in Florida and in different cities throughout the United States.
It is kind of all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah. So it'll come back around to it seems like if I remember correctly, it's in Dallas probably about every 3 months.
Oh, really?
It seems like it. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, that was last month. It was April 20th. that was on, which was just a few weeks ago.
A standing hotel is literally right next door to the venue. You could walk right there.
Right.
It's nice.
All right. Well, we had another event recently, which was Pandora's Box of Fetish and Burlesque, which was in Bournemouth, England.
I know you're excited about this.
Of course.
Tell us all about it.
I had 13 photos that were presented to the British crowd there.
That's quite a bit.
It is quite a bit. It's pretty outrageous to have that overseas.
You must be like the featured artist.
Well, I wasn't the featured artist. There are actually quite a few artists
there. Wow.
Yeah. They made a special deal for those of us who were out of state or out of country.
I think you even got one of my photos out. In there.
I got at least three, maybe four of your photos in there.
That's
actually.
So cool.
Yes.
I'm proud of you for that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a neat deal. It's awesome. I've never displayed stuff in England before, so that was a neat deal. I've done it in Europe, but not in England.
That is very cool.
And that's one of the places I definitely want, because, I mean, I visited England back when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And really loved it. Loved the pants off of it.
I did too.
I mean, it's just really cool over there. And so to get something, you know, get my foot in the door over in England is pretty cool. And hopefully I can build onto that and maybe make a trip over there. I'd like to do either a real featured show. Mm-hmm. It's so expensive to send, you know, photos.
Well,
over
England's
there, to
just
be honest
like
with
an
you.
Expensive period.
Yeah, no, no doubt about it. And anyway, it'd be fun to go over there and, you know, actually have a show and, you know, give me a good excuse to, yeah, give me a good excuse to go over there because the English are, they're very kinky. they are seriously into this stuff. I mean, I suppose that if you go out to maybe one of the coasts here in America, you're going to get people that are a little bit more serious about this stuff. Matter of fact, there's a couple of events that we're going to talk about in our news section that's coming up that's very serious. You know, you either show up dressed, you know, to impress.
Or they don't let you in.
Or you don't get in.
That's right.
I mean, you know, it's that sort of thing. And they are very much like that.
Well, Europe tends to dress there. Better, period.
Well, that's...
in general.
That's so true.
Americans are kind
that's of... That's so true. I remember when I was in Italy that there was an old man there that looked like, you know, he came right out of GQ magazine.
Oh, fuck, they dress in Italy.
You know,
oh,
our old men around here wear, like, you know, jumpsuits with anchors on it.
I know.
You know, and flip-flops. And this guy was wearing, like, you know, something by Yves Saint Laurent or something.
I mean,
it was just
up,
outrageous.
We showed up in Italy. We had all, like, holes in our jeans and stuff. And everyone was staring at us. I'm like, oh, shit. We wouldn't change. Because they, like, dress up in
yeah,
evenings
no.
and go out in the squares.
No,
you know,
they're serious.
They are serious about
yes,
this shit.
Yes. You look like a ridiculous American out there with your silliness.
Did.
Yeah. You know, the jeans. Of course, they get into the jeans over there a little bit, but I mean, you have to have the right look.
And they're fucking bicycles, man. They're riding the damn bicycles.
They're not
everywhere.
Playing around over there for real. Yeah, they're definitely into fashion.
They are.
Oh yeah. So anyway, got some stuff in England. Very proud awesome. About that. I'm glad that I got some pictures with you in there.
Me too. Thank you.
Which is very cool. It was a fetish show and stuff. I'm hoping to get some pictures or something from that event and maybe post it up either on the fetish show site or my own site.
Well, why don't you post up the photos that you did put in there anyway, that you did get into the show?
Well, I'm thinking actually some of those photos may show up in an event that's coming up very soon.
Okay,
so I
cool.
think I'm going to hang on to them.
All right.
Plus maybe something else that I'm just going to tease about right now, but not really talk about it.
Okay, like what is that?
Yeah, I got some things coming up. I got
that's
two,
stuff cooking,
maybe
huh?
two big things coming up here in another month or two, and it involves some of the pictures that were in that show and
cool.
some other things. So, anyway, yeah, I don't want to talk about it right now because it hasn't
I'm
all gelled.
I'm on the edge
but
of my seat.
But it's coming. It's coming. Something else that is coming. Is Kinky Carnival.
Yes, it is.
Which is going to happen on June 3rd through the 5th. And we have been invited
and we will
as guests.
Be there.
We will be there. We will set up. We'll be podcasting. We will be broadcasting.
Having fun.
Live from Kinky Carnival. We're going to be doing some interviews with some of the presenters and some of the participants and anyone else that we think are interesting.
And we can party.
And you can meet us. Because we're going to be there. We're going to be there for the whole weekend. We're going to set up. We're going to be talking to people.
Partying.
Partying. There's going to be some, maybe some partying. I hear.
I'll be partying.
Someone there may
be
some partying. I'll probably be moving equipment or something.
Unless someone wants to volunteer to show up and help us with that.
Right. Oh, wow. You know what happened the last time you suggested that?
Yeah. Someone showed up. Anyway.
Sometimes people hear these things and they go, hey, she wants me to show up and help her out.
But she can't sleep in my hotel room. That's the only thing.
I want to help her out.
It's if you're going to wait for me outside my hotel room for 5 hours, you cannot sleep in my hotel room.
No,
sorry.
Sorry. So sorry. Not really sorry at all, actually. not so sorry.
Anyway.
At all. Anyway, Kinky Carnival, they're going to have some great vendors there. They're going to have a wide variety of BDSM presenters. They're going to have the ubiquitous dungeon party, of course.
Woohoo.
What is a BDSM event without the dungeon party?
You just can't compare.
And they advertise themselves as being friendly both to newcomers and to experienced players. So if you've been looking for maybe a good environment to maybe test the waters and see what's out there, they've got presentations that run the gamut from BDSM 101 all the way up to advanced play stuff. So,
well, hey, if there's any indication of the people that we met in Tulsa that are running the event, how nice they are, how this is going to be, it's going to be good.
Yeah,
these people are really nice.
They were super cool to us from the very beginning, and we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
And so we are trying to do our best to return the favor and make sure that everyone knows about Kinky Carnival, which is going to be June 3rd through the 5th, 2011. It's going to be in Wichita, Kansas. And if you are interested in seeing us or in participating in the event, then please go to kinkycarnivalks.com, and I will put that up on our website, thefetishshow.com. And you can link to it there if you can't figure out how to spell that. Oh, Kinky Carnival, by the way, carnival spelled with a K, so I should say that.
Yes.
KinkyCarnivalKS.com. There you go.
There you go.
We're just about ready to go into the Fetish Show news, but I want to make two more announcements.
Go ahead.
Number one, my birthday's coming up.
Happy birthday, do you?
So you can send all of your cards and... Nah, you don't have to.
Naked photos. Are you women out there?
That's a big event. Yes, that would be good. You can send that to Dirk at thefetishshow.com. Now, that would be a nice little Christmas or a birthday present for
me. I'll see you naked one of me, Dirk. How's
that's
that?
Good.
You've seen me
I've got those.
You've seen me naked before, though.
I've got those. I got gigs and gigs of those on my hard drive.
I'll just wear a wig. You won't know it's me.
Oh, okay. That's good. You can disguise yourself. That's good stuff. Yeah, send me new pictures. Why not? Or you can call our toll-free hotline and wish me happy birthday. It's 1-888-506-0221. She's shaking
you're
her head.
You're so horrible. Like, you're giving out the hotline to call you to say happy birthday, you weirdo.
You know what? We do what we can to entice you guys to communicate with us, to be honest with you.
Call for
and
any
this
reason.
Is a good example. By the way, speaking of that, we do have a letter from someone. Do you want to read that?
I certainly shall. This is from someone.
His name is Brian.
Named Brian. It says, I found the Fetish Show, and may I say, for a new podcast, it rocks. Only one other that is on my iPod, and that is Sex is Fun.
Keep is up that the name, maybe the name of the podcast, other, Sex is Fun?
The other podcast he has on his iPod.
I'll have to check into that.
Yeah. Or yes. Keep up the good work. Hope to hear more, Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Hey, we like that. We like to hear that. Thank you.
You might consider using some periods in between your sentences there next time, Brian. But other than that, thank you very much.
I didn't know you were going to be the grammar police.
I'm definitely not the fucking grammar police or the spell patrol at all.
I could say something about throwing stones and glass houses.
It's true. I'm sorry, Brian. Never mind. Just write how you want, sweetheart.
The last thing I want to mention before we get to the Fetish Show news is we are tweeting. I'm tweeting a lot.
And you're a tweeter.
I'm tweeting like crazy. But Princess Zoe tweets too. So you should.
Occasionally.
You should get on our Twitter lists, Twitter feeds, whatever you call that.
Twitter feed.
It's our feed, like an RSS feed.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the address for our Twitter account is at the Princess Zoe for Princess Zoe, and mine is at Dirk Hooper, DirkHooper.
The maker of hoops.
Yes, one who makes hoops.
One who makes hoops.
That's what Hooper means, just in case you wanted to know. My whole name means kind and lovable, ruler of the people who makes hoops.
My name actually means weary, wise counselor. My first name means weary. My middle name
weary.
Means, my middle name means
really?
Wise counselor. Yes.
Weary.
Weary.
That's
wise
not
counselor.
Good. That's not good at all.
Zoe means life. So.
Ah, that is good stuff. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. And the next up is the Fetish Show News.
And now the Fetish Show News Desk.
Okay, first up on the Fetish Show News today is the surprising health benefits of sex.
Wow.
Years ago, Marvin Gaye's hit Sexual Healing touted the emotional benefits of lovemaking. But research shows sex can improve physical health as well. So what are the health benefits of sex? Number one, it boosts the immune system. Sex is moderate exercise. Moderately frequent sex enhances immune function and may help prevent illness such as the common cold, concludes lead researcher and professor of psychology, Carl Chartinsky.
Hmm.
How about that? It lowers your blood pressure. In a study conducted by the University of, I'm going to destroy this word. Anyway, it's in Germany, and the University West of Scotland. Ooh. Researchers asked 51 healthy men and women how often they had sex. After the researchers measured the participants' blood pressure, they found that as sexual frequency increased, blood pressure decreased. Another study from the University of the West of Scotland showed the same result.
How often are they having sex? It didn't say. What the hell?
Well, it just said frequently, didn't they? Or the more, actually, it correlated, the more they had sex, the lower their blood pressure.
I see.
Pretty nice.
It is.
It also reduces the risk of heart attack. British researchers at the University of Bristol followed 914 men for up to 20 years and found out that middle-aged men should be heartened to know that frequent sexual intercourse offers some protection from fatal coronary events, concludes lead researcher Shaw Ibrahim.
Hmm.
Right?
That's a great study.
It lowers the risk of prostate cancer. It relieves pain. Sex helps pain in two ways. First, it's an enjoyable distraction that helps people focus less on their pain. Second, as a form of gentle exercise, sex releases endorphins, the body's own pain-relieving compounds. In fact, the Arthritis Foundation recommends regular sex to help manage the pain of osteoarthritis, one of the nation's most prevalent causes of chronic pain.
Well, we conclude, have more sex.
Pretty much.
There you go.
It also deepens relaxation. Meditative relaxation has been shown to help treat an enormous number of physical ailments, including pain problems, asthma, high blood pressure, heart disease, depression, and arthritis. What does all this have to do with sex? Well, sex-related deep breathing and orgasms are deeply relaxing.
There you go.
And finally, it improves longevity, immune enhancement, deep relaxation, lower blood pressure, and reduced risk of heart attack and prostate cancer are all associated with longer life. Does this mean regular sex can extend life? Yes, it does.
Well, fuck, you're way too long life.
How about that? All right. Our next story is kink more common than we think? Does the thought of entering search terms like foot fetish, cheating wives, or even MILFs make you feel kinkier than the average person? You're probably not, say a pair of Boston researchers, who found that some diverse kinky sexual behaviors may be more common than you think. A pair of independent researchers, whose names I will soon destroy, Ogai Ogus and Sai Gadam, actually, I think I did okay on those.
Wow.
Analyzed more than a billion web searches, websites, and other sexual media online over 2 years and found that many people are not revealing what really turns them on.
Not revealing it to whom? And how did they research these websites? But
well,
never mind.
All right. Well, they explained some of that. Just like we have taste cues, we're also born with hardwired sexual cues, and they differ between men and women, says Ogus. The type of sex behaviors they found men and women seemed interested in were surprising, he said. More men were interested in porn featuring older women, known as granny porn. Men also were more interested in overweight rather than skinny women. Women, on the other hand, were more interested in watching and reading about relationships between two men. They've published their results in their upcoming book, A Billion Wicked Thoughts. Ogus and Gottam have coined their research as one of the largest sex experiments since Alfred Kinsey unveiled his sex behavior research in the 1950s. And many say their findings reveal a new era of the way people literally view their fantasies. Quote, I believe it gives the public information about something that we sex experts have known for a long time, which is there's a diversity in people's sexual fantasies, says Dr. Steven Snyder, a psychiatrist and sex therapist in New York. Quote, the book couldn't have been done without the internet, and we don't know if the results would have been the same without the internet. We're truly living in the age of porn.
I agree.
This is people's raw, unfiltered urges when no one is looking, Ogus said. Many people may believe their sexual behaviors are worse or more perverse than the norm, said Benoit Lewis, a contributing writer to the New York Times Magazine who has been writing about sex for nearly a decade and is a recovering sex addict. Quote, the sexual behaviors that people talk about and present to their friends and family is, many times, very different than what they really think. We have a tremendous amount of shame about our sexual behaviors. But the internet is a game changer that has provided a form of anonymity to explore without judgment.
And how did they get the information then if they're using the internet to get it?
I have absolutely no idea. You probably have to pick up their book to find out what their research is.
Because that's kind of not private, is it? If someone is like viewing what we view. Anyway.
Well, I know that Google, for example, collects all kinds of information,
mm-hmm.
and they feed it off to all kinds of different people,
so anyway.
Including the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, and a bunch of other stuff. They just mentioned, I remember an article not too terribly long ago that they said that they were tracking like flu symptoms and certain diseases by search terms.
Big Brother is watching.
Well, in this case, Big Brother is Google.
Facebook is the devil.
Right. Well, there you go. All right. It's time for upcoming events. And our first is Fetish Factory's 16-year anniversary Fetish Weekend. And man, this sounds good. It's on Memorial Day 2011 in South Florida. They have a beat and greet fetish party on Friday night. Saturday's event is a tour de force of fetish partying featuring a huge multi-room space transformed into the most elaborately decorated fetish nightclub beyond your wildest imagination.
Wow.
Filled with a fun and playful crowd. In years past, the main event has been known to draw 2,000 plus fetish frenzied partiers in a single night.
Damn.
Yeah.
To go out to that sometime.
Pretty nice.
Yes, it is.
You know, I think that there were at least 2,000 people at the Fetish Ball in Dallas, I might add.
I think so.
So we've been surrounded by that many kinky people, and it's fantastic. Finally, our Extreme Players Party will be hosted on Sunday and is a taste of the extreme fetish parties usually hosted by Fetish Factory's XFP website. This is a more hardcore event, and it's not for everyone, but for some players, this is a party that they cannot afford to miss. For many, this is the highlight of the whole weekend. If you're interested in this, please visit fetishfactory.com.
Cool.
When are we going to go to one of these things?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. We need to be there.
We need to be.
It sounds awesome.
It does.
And finally, did you go to your prom?
Yes, I went to a couple proms.
A couple?
Yes, I went to mine and a couple other people's.
Interesting. Well, for people who either went to their prom and didn't enjoy it or didn't get to go to the prom, they now have a fetish prom.
Oh, cool.
Fetish prom is a pansexual, pangender, and pan-fetish. We want all lifestyles to come and feel the energy of how prom should have been. Get dressed in your pretty pretties and come to the party throughout the night. The prom you wanted but never got is here. This is a dress to impress event. There's a special rare performance by Sampa von Cyborg. Some acts he takes part in involve screws, nails, needles, hooks, drills, electrical currents, and flesh hook suspensions.
Holy shit, where's this at?
This is an amazing opportunity to see one of the world's premier body modification artists up close.
Wow.
Musical performances are by Aria, Venus de Mars, Chant, and Black Ops. The location is the venue of Scottsdale, Arizona.
Wow.
Fire spitting or spinning will be performed live outside the live outside the venue for everyone's enjoyment, presenting unique fashion shows, belly dancing troupes, fire dancers, fetish performances, suspension artists, bands, and vendors from all over Arizona and the Southwest. We are bringing the hottest people and personalities to keep the party thumping and bumping all night long. There are 4 full bars in the venue, 14 vendors, and sexy stage performances from Toys for Lust.
Damn.
If you are interested in this, it is, you can check it out at azfetishball.com.
And speaking of body modification, a great interview coming up.
That's an excellent segue into our, the reason why I paused there for a minute is I didn't give you the date for this, but it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. I believe it actually may be on that Memorial Day weekend that the other fetish event was too. In any case, yes, that is an excellent segue, which I have now completely screwed up, to piercing pioneer Elaine Angel. Do you want to say anything about our interview with Elaine Angel?
Oh, nothing about the interview. Just I absolutely adore her, and I'm so happy that we got to interview her.
I do too. I mean, we've been pretty lucky on interviews lately. I mean, we are really getting the cream of the crop here, and that definitely includes Elaine Angel.
Oh, yes, it does.
And I think that you're going to agree once you hear more about her. And that's coming up next.
The Fetish Show feature presentation.
Today we have master body piercer and body modification enthusiast and the first person to register a tattoo with the United States Patent Office, Elaine Angel. Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Welcome. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm great. It's delightful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Actually, welcome again, because I screwed up the first interview that we did.
I wasn't going to tell anybody.
I wasn't either there, Dirk.
I'm going to fess up. I screwed up.
You did.
So I apologize to the audience for the delay in this soon-to-be great interview.
We all had a good time, and I'm happy to spend some more time with you guys. So ask me whatever you'd like.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, let's take you back to the beginning and ask how you got involved with body piercing.
Well, I had an interest in piercing since I was a child. I remember at the age of 5, I had a bracelet that broke and these little pearl beads were rolling around, and I picked them up and I pressed them onto my earlobes so hard that they'd stayed so it would look like I had pierced ears. And I started asking my parents to let me pierce them, and it took them 2 years to say yes. And when I was 7, I got my ears pierced initially, and I was just thrilled about it. And when I was 12, which was in 1972, pretty early on for anything other than a simple earlobe piercing, I was multiply piercing my own ears and started piercing those of my friends. And I got more professional after that, but it started very early on.
I did that too. I pierced a few of my girlfriend's ears at, you know, different slumber parties or whatever. We used to get like the potato and put it behind the ear and some ice and like stick in the other.
I have to admit, in my book, I advise against using any fruits or vegetables in the course of a piercing.
Well, I agree. I agree that should be the case.
Now we know better. We didn't know much back then.
Well, there was something you said that I didn't realize before, that there's a tattoo registered, the first tattoo. Is that what you said? Can you read that? That's news to me.
Well, Elaine Angel is the first person to ever register a tattoo with the United States Patent Office.
That's interesting.
It's actually, even beyond that, it's actually the first human feature to ever be registered by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Wow,
not only tattoo, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. And so what is it?
It's the angel wings that cover my back, and it wasn't actually my idea to register it. I had a client who was an attorney, and he said, you know, you're really well known for piercing for those wings. You should let me register them. And I said, well, okay, what do I have to do? And he said, just provide whatever documentation I request, and I pay the filing fee, and he volunteered to do the legal work. And it took 6 years of repeated requests for documentation and declinations, and we persisted until we were able to finally meet the burden of proof that I was well known enough in the body piercing world to merit a registration in the form of a service mark related to piercing services for my angel wings tattoo.
That's really interesting.
That's very cool.
Did they like deny you, send you a denial letter or something like that?
Yeah, they did on numerous occasions. And so wow. The funny part at the end of the story is that my attorney said, I've never advised anyone to get a tattoo before, but in your case, if you get the indicia of registration, the encircled R tattooed on your body, it will increase your legal protection.
Oh, wow.
So I went ahead and did it.
Oh my God.
I have a little on my right buttock.
That's so cool.
That's so funny. You're registered.
Take some pictures of that.
I am registered. There's some online. I have a webpage in which the trademark is discussed, and there's photos and all that.
That's cool. You're just cool. That's what it is. You're just cool chick.
Let's talk a little bit about Gauntlet.
Okay. Gauntlet was where I first went to get pierced myself in 1981 when I found out from a couple I met at the Renaissance Fair about nipple piercings. And I had actually pierced my own body in some other spots. We can talk about that as well. But once I found out there was a professional place where you could actually go to get pierced, I ran down there immediately and had them pierce my nipple. And I looked down at that ring hanging in my right nipple and I said, oh my gosh, we've got to do the other one. I hadn't even considered it until I saw the one in there. And that started me off, and I brought in countless friends and acquaintances and strangers to get pierced. I was a huge advocate. I was so passionate and excited, and I brought in all sorts of people and watched how it was done. And I'll admit I did some piercing at home on friends in the style of Gauntlet, and then I became a professional once I actually became employed there in the 80s as the manager. And I worked there for a number of years and developed my skills and helped to develop the piercing industry as we know it today.
Now, was that in San Francisco?
No, the original branch was in Southern California. So when I started to pierce professionally, there was one piercing specialty business in the country, in fact, in the world, and I was the manager. So it was the business then grew to branches in San Francisco and New York, during the time I was there, but the original branch was in West Hollywood, California, and they opened in 1975.
Where did you go for training? Who trained you if there wasn't anybody else around?
Well, Jim Ward was the owner and founder of the business, and he kind of took me under his wing, as it were. Apprenticeships weren't really as formal back then, and he sort of left me to reinvent part of the wheel, and then he helped me etch out part of it when I asked for help. And fortunately, I had some good natural aptitude and mm-hmm. some medical training, and it all worked out. So Jim Ward, actually, I want to let people know, if they're interested in the history of modern body piercing, that his new book just came out, and it's called Running the Gauntlet, and it's a story of Jim Ward and the beginning of the piercing industry in the United, well, anywhere.
Yeah, look that
and
one
it's
up.
Great.
Well, is there a standardization in the industry as far as piercers go? Like, if you're, I don't know, certified to pierce, then we know you at least meet this level of skill or something.
That's
like
a
that.
Great question. There is no federal certifying agency. There are no state regulations in certain states. In many places, it's legislated locally. And in many places, even that have good legislation, it's often not enforced, which is why people have to be educated consumers. And it's really important, because there are risks anytime you break the skin, and piercings and other body art obviously do break the skin. And so there is an Association of Professional Piercers, and I'm the medical liaison for that organization. And I'm going to be finishing my 9th year of voluntary service on the board and beginning my next 3-year term in June, when I will become president of the organization.
Oh, congratulations.
And ruler of the world.
We are not a certifying agency, however. What we do is we have members who meet certain environmental criteria in their studios. They agree to use certain quality of body jewelry. Right. They agree to uphold ethics and standards. And so they apply to be members, and if they meet our standards, we grant them membership. And then you know when you go to an APP member that they are hygienic. We do not monitor the artistic merit of the piercer, meaning we can't necessarily guarantee that you're going to get a straight piercing or that, you know, that those aspects of it, it's not, those are things we can't control, but we do monitor the hygiene aspects and make sure that they spore test their sterilizers and make sure the equipment is functioning properly and that they have the appropriate setup in their studio and all sorts of stuff like that.
So there is a risk if you're going to someone who maybe doesn't know what they're doing and has a potato run.
If they have a potato. Or a carrot bun, yes. No, and the truth is there are a lot of so-called professional piercers out there who are charging for the job, and they're not doing a good job. And I get messages every day mostly from women who've received botched genital piercings, which is really, really a big, huge bummer.
Oh,
sometimes it's just a missed opportunity for enhancement or pleasure, and sometimes there's actually damage done. So this is serious business.
Yeah.
And there's piercers out there who are dangerous, so you do need to learn what to look for.
I agree to that. I had my belly button pierced and it didn't go well at all. It's a very hard place area to heal.
It is. It's kind of unfortunate that one became so hugely popular, because out of the whole body from head to toes, it's one of the most difficult spots to heal.
Yes.
It's right where your body bends and moves. It's right where your clothing strikes it. And it's also not very rich in blood supply. And that's one of the things that is a composition of a healing ability in the body is blood supply. So between all those factors, it's a tough area to heal.
What about the ones I've seen that looks like it's down the spine, you know, in someone's back, like little studs or whatever? How do those stay in?
Well, there's a newer form of it's a newer form of piercing that's called microdermals or single point piercings, in which there's a single ornament. It's a little tiny L-shaped piece of jewelry, and it goes into like a very tiny pocket that's made in the skin. And so it's a lot like a piercing, but a piercing usually has an entry and an exit where there's, you know, you can see both sides
of
it.
Right.
And so this just has one entry and exit. That's the same spot. And those overall, I would say, compared to doing surface piercings in many of the same areas, they're actually perhaps better, because they're going to leave less scarring if they don't heal successfully. But overall, it's still relatively new, and I would have to describe it as a semi-permanent and not a permanent adorment the way piercings can be. They do
tendency. I wonder how you pull that out, like with some pliers or something, if you pull it.
No, well, they can get snagged on your clothing and just come out, or if they start migrating, you can have your piercer take them out. But they are less risky than some of the more major modifications, like transdermal implants, where they actually make an incision and put something under the skin and stitch it up. That's much more major. The surface anchors are a very minor procedure.
Well, as you know, I'm very interested to have you pierce me.
And I look forward to it.
As soon as I can catch up with you somewhere, maybe we'll grab the video camera and do a little video of that dirt.
Wow, is that what we're going to do? We're gonna videotape that?
Well, only if she wants
it. We're going to put that on YouTube?
That sounds like fun.
Well, it's education. It's educational.
It certainly would be.
I'm going to be in New Orleans in June piercing, and I have a travel calendar on my website, piercingbible.com, and I'm going to be adding to that soon. So I look forward to catching up with you somewhere. I don't have a studio any longer. It was in New Orleans for over 12 years. It was called Rings of Desire, and it closed after the hurricane. So now we have to catch up with each other while I'm on the road somewhere, which is where I pierce, all over fine studios of APP members across the country.
Do you ever come to Oklahoma City area?
I haven't been, but I do have a colleague who has a studio there, 23rd Street Body Piercing, and I might talk to him about a visit.
I've heard of it. Well, I know that tattoos and piercings and such were illegal here until recently. Dirk, I wasn't living in the state then, but that's been the last few years, right?
Piercings have been legal for a little bit longer, I believe, than tattoos. But we were like the last state on the planet
to Texas that
actually allowed tattooing.
Yeah.
Well, New York was right along with you. They had it outlawed there for a long time as
Is
well.
That
but yes.
New York?
Yeah.
Well, that's why one reason I would be leery to go to someone here. Nothing against anyone here who does it. It's just the experience, the time and experience that if it's been illegal until recently, you got to have the time and experience to get good at it.
I can say that they apprenticed in other places, and a lot of people.
You don't know that.
I do know that. A lot of people were in Texas and were actually doing the work there, and then migrated back to Oklahoma when it became legal again.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
I don't know.
Well, I'm sure. Well, it makes sense with supply and demand. Once the demand became open and legal, I'm sure that there were plenty of experienced practitioners who were happy to fulfill that demand. So I'll bet there are some experienced practitioners there.
I'm sorry. Why the hell would tattoos and piercings be illegal anyway? That's interesting.
Well, this is Oklahoma, Zoe.
What does that mean?
Well, actually, the... Tattooing is still illegal in the French Quarter of New Orleans, and piercing became illegal as well once they legislated it. And I helped to write some of the regulations for the state of Louisiana. But what happened was some biker gangs firebombed each other's studios, and then they just outlawed the whole thing.
Oh,
so,
holy shit.
Yeah. When I was there, I had the only... so they grandfathered me in because I'd been there so long. But that was the final body art license in the French Quarter till I left.
You also were the inventor of the, and excuse me if I say this wrong, the fourchette and the Lorem piercings?
That's correct. The fourchette is a female genital piercing at the back edge of the vagina, and the Lorem is a piercing at the juncture between the shaft of the penis and the scrotum.
Very interesting.
Very.
Something for everyone.
Would you like a piercing, Derek?
I don't know about that. Maybe.
Why not? I'm sure she can hook you up.
Good, clean fun. I'll tell you, when a skilled and experienced piercer does a piercing for you, it's instantaneous. It's not there, it's there. It's just that fast. Mm. Tattooing, on the other hand, starts and then it keeps going potentially for quite some time till it's done. So piercing's much more finite. And most of the people I pierce would describe that it didn't actually hurt, that they'd feel a pinch or a sting or some pressure, but people are always amazed at how smooth and painless it can be when it's done by somebody who really knows what they're doing.
We need to get you here. I'm gonna see what I can do to help. If you decide to come, I'll help host you somehow. I think.
All right, well, let's talk about that.
We should. I think it'd be great.
Let me ask you about your research that was done at the University of South Alabama that was involving female sexual satisfaction. Excuse me. And with the vertical clitoral hood piercing.
Wow. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
I think it's fantastic. There was an actual formal research study that was conducted by researchers at the University of South Alabama. And they came to me, to Rings of Desire, to my studio that I had in New Orleans. And they had me distribute their research instrument, which is the survey. So women filled out a survey before their piercing. And then they had a post-piercing survey that they were to fill out 4 to 8 weeks post-piercing after they'd had a chance to experiment with some sexual activity. And then they compared the results. And it wasn't a huge sample in the study, but it did produce positive results in terms of increased sexual desire and I think frequency of activity. I can't remember all the categories, but it was positive results. And I think it's just so cool that they actually studied it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's spectacular. You got some medical, some research backing you now.
Well, that is interesting because I know, like with the G shot when it came out, you know, it's not for people who don't already have orgasms. So imagine same thing with this is for people who already function that way. They already have orgasms. It's not going to make you have one if you don't normally.
As a matter of fact, I have a story there.
Yeah, tell us, please.
I think I'm just guessing.
Tell us, please.
I've actually had two women who had told me, and perhaps more that didn't share, but I've had two women that had never had an orgasm prior to being pierced by me. I did what's called a triangle piercing on them, which goes behind the clitoral nerve bundle. It's a horizontal piercing of the hood tissue, but it's a very specific spot. And both of these women said they had the same partners and were engaging in the same activities, so the only thing different was the piercing. And after getting pierced by me, they had the first orgasms of their life. So that validates my life's work right there.
No kidding.
And that is a big validation.
Wow, ladies, I hope you're listening to this and taking notes.
So then we line it up.
I know, for real.
Well, that's a... I need that.
And the most popular piercing I do way more of them than anything else, is called the vertical clitoral hood, or VCH piercing. And it's not a serious piercing. I mean, the word clitoral is in there, but it just pierces the fine tissue above the clitoris. So it's kind of akin to a foreskin piercing on a man. But the way the jewelry rests right on top of the clitoris allows for more direct stimulation to the area during sexual activities. And I have women send me cards and candy and flowers and thank you notes, and a lot of women really find that they enjoy that piercing a lot.
That's cool. Well,
you have written a book. We want to make sure that everyone knows about it. It's called The Piercing Bible.
We need to get that book.
Yes, we do. Tell us about The Piercing Bible, please.
Right. It's The Piercing Bible, The Definitive Guide to Safe Body Piercing, and it was published by Random House. And it is the only book in the English language that is comprehensive and authoritative and deals exclusively with the subject of body piercing. If you want a book on body piercing, it's really the only one out there. And it's over 300 pages, and it contains information for everyone with an interest or need to know anything about the subject. So it was written primarily for consumers, for people who are interested in piercings, thinking about them, getting them, or already have them. A secondary market is people who deal with us, like medical professionals or parents whose kids want piercings, or school coaches, and anybody who deals with pierced patients in the medical or dental community. And then finally, a third market was for piercers themselves and apprentices. So it's got information for everybody.
Or maybe if you're just interested in getting a piercing and you want some information about it.
No, that's it, not gives in there.
It's all in there. It's got information about the risks and whether piercing's right for you, and talking about how to select a piercer and how to pick the right spot for your anatomy and what to expect in a studio. And it goes over each piercing in detail. It's aftercare and healing, troubleshooting, living with piercing. It's got everything.
I wouldn't think the client would always be the best person to choose the right spot for their anatomy.
They'll go in and request it, and then a skilled piercer can guide them from there.
Right, right.
Now, but if you read the book, you would be pretty qualified to determine whether you're at least a candidate for a piercing.
If I would read the book, if I need to get the book, I will buy the book.
If someone if someone was interested in getting your book, what would they do to get a copy of that?
The easiest thing, it is on Amazon as well, but if you want a signed copy, if you go to my website, piercingbible.com, there's a buy now button. You just click whether you're international. You can click the international, or and it includes the price with shipping. Mm-hmm. And then the order will be filled by the Association of Professional Piercers, and they get 25% of the proceeds from the sale, and you get a signed book.
Wow, that's a good little thing you have, you know, set up with them to give them part of that. That's nice.
Yeah. I support the organization, and they support me. I'm all about the win-win situation. And the book is the cover price is $20, and that's all it costs, even with the autograph.
Oh, that's an awesome deal. Are you kidding? Yeah, that's great. I love that. Hey, tell us a little bit about your own piercings, what you've got. I mean, because I know that you're extensively...
Feel free to share with us, no one else can see. But
yeah, that's no fair to the audience.
Oh my gosh, is that new? Wow.
I just showed off my 5-tongue piercings. And as you can see, I can talk and everything with them in there. I have about 40 piercings, and a lot of them are in my head. I have quite a few in my ears, including some of the exotic cartilage piercings. I have a big hole through my conch that you can see through.
She has a hole in her conch.
I have a piercing, a surface piercing in my forehead that's called a bindi. I have my nasal septum pierced. I have two piercings in one nipple, one in the other. I have a navel piercing, and I have 9 genital piercings, including my actual clitoris, which is a very rare piercing.
Wow.
And 8 outer labia piercings. So I'm pretty fancy.
You are fancy.
You are fancy.
Can I see
I like
your belly
that.
Button one? Can you show me that one? I want to see that. I just want to see your belly.
Actually, I know.
Wow.
This is
hers healed and everything.
This is so obvious, Zoe.
You're
so obvious.
I know. Well, you thought I was going to ask her to see, you know, some other one, right?
Wow.
I'm not shy.
I know you're not, and you shouldn't be. You're beautiful, so there's nothing
thank
to be
you
shy
very
about.
Much. So are you, darling.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, I've been getting, actually the tongue piercings, you see the one in the center was done by Jim Ward, my former employer and mentor.
Wow.
And that was one of the first permanent tongue piercings done in the United States. And I've added to it from there. And I have the first double piercing, the first triple piercing. And, you know, one was so much fun and two was even better. I ended up with five of them in there.
She's a woman of firsts.
Well, no kidding.
Partly why my husband married me is my five tongue piercings.
Oh, really?
I think maybe he's the first in him, is his own right. So maybe that's why you married him too.
Yeah,
unique
yeah.
In every way.
we're both kind of pioneers in our fields.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hope that women are listening to this too. You know, get your tongue pierced.
What?
And men.
And right,
men,
absolutely,
and
men.
Get your tongue pierced. Get your stuff pierced. But not by the wrong piercer.
There's stories that in Borneo, a man would not be able to find a sexual partner if he didn't have his penis pierced, because it's so well known how much more pleasurable it is with the jewelry in.
Yeah, Dirk, get your dick pierced, man.
Well, maybe you're talking me into it.
It's not your problem. Your dick is not fucking pierced. That is why you get no play.
Sorry about that. Sorry, ladies.
I can help.
She can help.
Piercing part anyway.
Elaine Angel to the rescue.
I'll videotape it. Dirk's penis getting pierced,
wow.
Y'all.
Wow.
You have the zoom on that?
The zoom. Hey, you need a wide angle lens for that.
Whatever.
Well, and if people want to watch me piercing, they can go to piercingbible.com and click videos. And there's some that are on there, and there's some of me doing genital piercings that are hosted on another site, an adult site.
Wow.
You have some other websites besides the Piercing Bible, don't you? Is that correct?
Piercingbible.com is my main website.
Okay.
And then my husband has his collection of websites, but that's the one main one I work on, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so they should go to the Piercing Bible or just Piercing Bible?
No, just piercingbible.com.
Piercingbible.com if you want to get more information.
And you can also see pictures of me and my body art, my tattoos and piercings on there as well under Elaine's Body Art. So it's a very comprehensive website. There's lots of good stuff on it.
And the picture on the front of your book, that's your angel wings on your back?
Yes, the back of my book has my image on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Who did your tattoos?
A different artist did each of my major works. My back is covered from shoulders to the tops of my thighs with angel wings, and those were done by an artist named Bob Roberts in Los Angeles in the 80s. My arms were done by Alex Binney. I have floral vines covering my arms from shoulder to wrist, and he's in the UK. He's a British artist. And my lower body from my waist to my toes, inclusive, meaning my genitals are also tattooed with fins. I have a mermaid tail, so my whole lower body has very colorful fins and
wow.
Scales.
Wow.
So I can swim or fly. And my newest tattoo is actually across the tops of my shoulders.
Oh yeah,
and
those showing it to us.
Wow, those are cool.
They're Mayan sun rays, kind of abstracted Mayan sun rays.
Cool.
So I have all of the elements: earth, air, water, and fire on me.
Oh,
the Mexican
very nice.
Kind of
yeah,
culture
I like
thing
that.
Rubbing off of the Mayan there.
I like that a lot. Well, where are you off to next? What's I know you travel quite a bit.
My next piercing trip will be in June in New Orleans, and I have plans to be in Detroit, Seattle, Philadelphia, Albuquerque. I'm going to be all over the place. So if you want to find out, there's a little sidebar with events, and there's an events calendar on my website also. And there's also an opt-in list. If you go to piercingbible.com and sign up for my newsletter, you'll automatically be notified when I make new travel plans.
There you
and
go.
If someone wants to schedule with you at one of these locations, they need to go ahead and go on your website and get scheduled with you.
They can hit the contact button and email me for an appointment. And when I send a newsletter, that also has instructions on how to book an appointment with me. And I do get booked up, booked solid, pretty much everywhere I go. I was in Philadelphia, and I did 71 piercings on 50 clients in 4 days, and they came from 12 different states in Canada.
Holy cow.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah, so get out there and get pierced by a pioneer.
Well, someone who knows what the fuck they're doing would be good.
Exactly.
Well, you ask how many piercings I have. I have about 40, but I've done about 40,000 on other people.
Wow.
Do you keep track of that?
Well, sure, because we have release forms for every piercing that we do. So, in fact, I do keep track.
You'd have to have a whole library to keep track of 40,000 people. No kidding.
Storage room, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm personally on a campaign to get her here to, because you notice she didn't mention Oklahoma City in that list of really cool places to go.
I would go there. I would go there. Why? Let's talk about it.
Let's do. Hell yeah.
Talk to my friend with the studio there and see what we can work out.
We can do it.
We can do that. Absolutely.
We will help any way we can.
That would be awesome.
Because I need piercings. And cool people need to come here. So there you go.
All right. Let's keep talking about that.
I will. We will.
All right. Everyone go to piercingbible.com, correct?
Correct.
To find out the information. And you can order the book directly from there.
Yeah.
And
make it easy.
You're going to be touring around the whole United States. You live in Mexico, though.
I do. I live in the Yucatan of Mexico, and it is beautiful here.
It's cool. It's cool like that.
Well, I do my work is very concentrated, and then I have this fantastic, relaxing refuge to come back to in between. So it works out great.
She lives on vacation. That's what it is.
Yeah, no kidding. It's nice.
It is nice, but I do have a full-time job when I'm home, which is answering questions and booking the appointments, because all the appointments that I do are pre-booked in advance, and keeping up my online presence. And
that is a full-time job, I know.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
All right. Well, Elaine Angel, thank you for talking to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Looking forward to piercing you both someday.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
This is Dominatrix Nancy Ava Miller, the author of Pervert Notes from the Sexual Underground, and you are listening to The Fetish Show.
So there was our interview with Elaine Angel.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, she's awesome.
I want them to come here so bad. I would love that.
Are we going to put that together? We need to check with her, don't we?
Yes, we do. Actually,
see if she's taking care of the venue, actually, her venue.
I'm gone out there and talked to them, and he's very interested in her coming, so hopefully that will happen, and then we'll be able to videotape the piercing of my genitals.
Wow, are we really going to do that?
Hell yeah. Well, not actually of that, but, you know, of everything else that happens.
All the activity around that?
Yeah. So they said we can do it out there, so that's, I think it'd be a cool thing to do.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And, I mean, come on. You know that if Buck Angel comes to town, everyone and their dog is going to want to to do something. You know, I mean.
To do something.
No matter what, you know, what their event is or their venue or whatever, if you got Buck Angel in town, you got to invite him out.
I invite him to stay at my house. I hope they will. Wow. That would be so cool.
Wow, that is crazy wacky.
Have someone offering to be the chef, the cook, and people offering to show for them around. So, anyway.
Dustin cooks, doesn't he?
Yeah,
we could probably get him involved
chef.
In that. Yeah.
He's the one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's like gonna
make thinking he is a chef.
He wants to like make them lunch every day and take it to them over there.
Our production assistant, Dustin.
Yes, our production assistant, Dustin.
That's good stuff. Okay, I mentioned earlier that the fetish prom I thought was on Memorial Day weekend. I am correct. It is May 28th. It's in Scottsdale, Arizona. And if you're interested in it, again, go to azfetishball.com. All right. We want to invite you out to our website, which is thefetishshow.com. You can get links, videos from the show, more about us, and how to contact us. Plus, you can subscribe directly from that website.
Subscribe and get in touch with us. Send us more questions, more comments. We look forward to that.
Yeah, we dig that. We want to hear from you.
Dig it.
If you want to know more about Princess Zoe, then you can go to theprincesszoe.com. If you want to know more about my work, you can go to Dirk Hooper, DirkHooper.com. And I'm going to be doing a major revitalization of that site soon, so keep your eye on it, please. Also, you can check us out on FetLife. Princess Zoe is Princess Zoe.
Yes, I am.
And I am the Dream King. Finally, if you want to get in touch with us, please email info@thefetishshow.com for potential guests, invites to events, please invite us to your event. We want to be part of it.
Please call Dirk for his birthday on our hotline.
Right,
which is...
yeah. Well, our hotline number is 1-888-506-0221. That's it, folks. Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show for Princess Zoe. This is Dirk Hooper. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.